And if you feel like it, and if you've gathered it together into a little ball, you might just want to just kind of go puff, and with the flow of your air, just send it out the door. And with that flowing, you're sending your to-do lists and your worries just out the door. And you can pick all that up if you want to when we finish. So now, as you feel ready, you open your eyes and we can start. And is our gizmo going?
Our little gizmo is going, so it's my pleasure to welcome Diane Munro to Many Rivers Books and Tea. And we look forward to hearing what an expressive arts person has to offer to our store. Thank you so much for coming tonight.
And thank you so much. So now that we are here and all our to-do lists are out the door. Oh, yeah. Yes. Now that we're all here and the to-do lists are out the door, and I do tend to get soft voice sometimes, so if anybody can't hear me, just raise your hand and I'll raise my voice level. Okay. Welcome. I am supposed to speak, do art, anything I want to do for an hour, which isn't a lot of time. So usually I love to ask people what brought them here. However, what I'm not going to do is ask everyone to speak in a nice line or circle for the purpose of time, but I would just like to ask a few people who might feel so inclined to share with me what brought them to something here called Wild Soul Practices for Tracking Inner Terrain. So a few people might.
My experience with you brought me here, and the term wild soul that I resonate with.
Okay. Thank you, Sandy.
It's a communion of personal soul with the earth soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard some affirmations on that. Anyone else?
I'm co-creating a play shop with a friend of mine, Ash Weiss, and mm-hmm. we're going to be working with the earth a lot in our journey together and creativity.
So,
I sense of my own experience in that sharing and community is that I think we're all trying to find a way of navigating the inner landscape in the boundlessness of possibilities that meet us and inspire us and sometimes challenge us to move through into our higher purpose.
Wow, that was so beautifully put.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyone else? So I'm just going to then plunge into a little talking and then some doing, because being a very experiential person, very often for me, more is learned in the doing than in the talking. To start, though, and it's probably the only time I have to refer to my notes, I want to begin with a poem and a quote. And this poem is by William Stafford, and it's called The Way It Is, and some of you may know it. There's a thread that you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. But it's hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die. And you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. And I'm just going to read that again because for me it says very, very much about this question of soul and wild soul. There's a thread you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread. but it's hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen, people get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. And so for me, when I use the word soul, that thread that runs through and beneath our lives and our life stories is one of the meanings of the word soul. And another meaning, this is my quote here. Where is my quote here? Okay. Is from Bill Plotkin, whose work has very much influenced me, who I've had the opportunity to study with. And his description of soul is the unique mythopoetic identity that lies at the heart of each life. And to me, that definition, those words, unique mythopoetic, kind of hit it right at the heart of things. And so I'm using soul to mean this most deepest and essential part of each life. And for me, in discovering soul, I'm going to take from, and I'm just curious, how many of you, if you put up hands, know of Bill Plotkin's work? He's the author of Soulcraft and, okay, Nature and the Human Soul. He made a distinction in terms of two realms of spirituality that shook my work and shook my world and my work and took my work in a very different direction because it resonated very truthfully with me. And for him and some other people, anthropologist Michael Mead uses this as well, there are two realms of spirituality, and most people, when they talk about spirituality, talk about what is called, or what I call, the up function, okay? We're talking about the transcendent, the one, the light, the universe, the universal. And for Bill Plotkin and myself, there is a second realm of spirituality that is very much not recognized or not talked about, especially in Western culture. And that is the inner, the depth, the going down into self, into earth, into mystery, into darkness, and into each of our unique individual selves in relation to the Great One. But what is our uniqueness? And so soul is intricately interwoven with depth, dark, mystery, and earth. And when I say dark, I'm not saying dark in a scary movie kind of way, but in a way of rejuvenation, regeneration, depth, restfulness, insight, the deep inner self. So for me, that is the part that is little spoken of, and that's the part that brings me alive and wanting to offer people ways to, as this theme said of the evening, to track their inner worlds, to track that soul image that we are each born with, that for me, in a sense, runs underneath each life, whether we know it or not. People can never hear about it, which is what often happens in our culture. People can deny it, run away from it, but there it is. And so if we find it, we can open to it, we can learn to dialogue with it, we can learn to let it be a rudder and a guide. And there are a lot of tools and practices that we can use to do that. And since I walked into this as someone who was trained in expressive arts, which is using art processes for interior work, I was like, wow, we can use that for soul tracking, and we can use creativity for soul tracking, and we can use a deep connection with the natural world for soul tracking, because we are of the natural world. We are nature, we are earth, which is very often in our culture negated and not even thought about. So those are some of the tools that I'm pulling together for soul tracking, And what that gives us is, you know, the best way I can say this is an inner rudder. And that inner rudder, that soul image, is more than our personality, more than our talents, more than things that we like or don't like. It kind of goes beneath all of that. And it's from that that comes what we talk about, a soul purpose. What am I here to do? And I'm going to just talk a little bit about how I see that soul purpose, soul image connection, what we're here to do. And for me, it's almost it's almost very obvious. We have a soul purpose that is connected to the earth, because we're part of the earth, you know, and our culture, we live in a culture that wants to close that off, but we are part of the earth. And our soul purpose is also going to be connected to the times in which we live, because we're alive now. We're not alive 200 years in the future or 200 years in the past, so we have to have something that we're doing now. And seeing those two things as interwoven, to me, brings clarity on understanding that soul image rudder and understanding how that rudder can bring us to our purpose, what we're doing here. And so in looking at that, I say, okay, what time do we live in? Because I believe we live in a very special and very crucial time. And for me, and for many other people, I'm not the one who invented this, we live in a time where our earth is in a great crisis due to our culture. Our culture is literally consuming our earth. And we live at a time when our culture, our civilization, is pushing at the edges of what our planet can hold, which means that some of those institutions are crumbling and no longer holding, which means that there is more room for new ideas, new ways of doing things, new experiments, new ways of being together with each other as humans, new ways of being with the earth. There's all kinds of opportunity. And for me, that means that everybody who's alive today has something very important to bring to these times. So for me, part of what I feel I do is to help people get a little clarity on what is that image, what is it that's the mythopoetic identity of my story, the rudder underneath, that gives me clarity on what I'm here to do, because the more we can do what we're here to do, the more we can impact life now, life in the future, and the more we can lead very fulfilling lives even when times are difficult or even frightening. Kind of like that poem says, people get old and they die, but we don't let go of the thread. So with that, I would just like to pause a little. We're going to be doing some experiential exercises, just a little one that might give people a little taste of that. So from people I know here, and of course there's the people I don't know here, I know that there's people here who have, you know, thought about this and done things about this and already have an ongoing conversation going on with soul and soul purpose. And there may be other people who are just starting to think about that question, or people who know something's important there and don't know exactly what. So I'm feeling there may be a whole range here, and my hope is to give people a small experience here that's going to open a door, that's going to clarify something on wherever you are in your own understanding of that. Before I do that, though, I just wanted to pause. So this is my talky part, okay? And I wanted to pause and see if people had questions, observations, insights, anything like that. Doug? Yes, Michael.
I think it is not a coincidence that the place where our foot meets the earth when we are on the path and moving along is called the SOLE. I think when it's a spiritual path, the spelling might change a little. But I think also, when we speak, when our word is actually on the path, and we feel ourselves with our speaking actually moving on the path, that the place where the word meets the larger body of the silence, I think that's who you are.
Thank you.
And the description is something about the mystical, that mystical quality. How did you describe it?
The mythopoetic. Mythopoetic. I love that word, yes.
Yeah, mythopoetic. I love it. Yeah. So the meeting between that word and the silence, the meeting of the word, I think it fits there. I think it works there.
And other comments, questions? Yes.
I've been curious in working with this for some time, is the nature of effusion, where we're in touch with and cultivating to know our soul and in the landscape, the sense of depth. Collective endeavor, and that takes on a quality, which is not so much I as it is an I am we.
Very good point. Yeah.
And that it's also co-mingled with everything that has come before now, and with everything that is yet to come in this moment. It's all right here. We are all. Manifest tangibly in our work.
That is very beautifully put. Thank you. Yes. So what I would like to do, and I'm trying to figure out a little bit how to do this, I want to lead us on a meditation to create some art. And I have art supplies, and I also brought these acoustic guitar magazines that belong to my husband, for people who know my husband. I don't know if I brought enough, but I've learned that they're really excellent to do art on sitting in chairs. But I don't know that I brought enough of them. So I'm thinking, I don't know. Gors, could I ask you, could you just pass these out and see if we have enough of them? And what I'm going to do then is I'm going to take this chair. And actually, I think I'm going to leave this chair right here. I'm looking for places to put art supplies so people can just grab them. Sometimes I use the floor, but we're not in a circle.
So. We can clear out the chairs and sit in a circle on the floor.
Yeah, some people wouldn't want to sit on the floor. Yeah, so you know what? We're just going to kind of do this like this. I'm going to just put our supplies different places. Hey, would you mind? Thank you. Okay, so are the only people that don't have magazines you three?
No, there.
Pardon?
About a third of us.
Oh,
I can use the chair. Okay. Somebody can use. I was
Are
going
there
to
any
get
newspapers or publications, free publications around the bookstore.
Are those records over there?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, I better
for sale.
Okay, you don't want to do that. You're drawing them. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So, someone can use the back of this mailing list, which I intend to pass around later. to draw on. Would you like the back of this?
I'm comfortable with my legs.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't like the board that well.
Don't feel like you can't. Michael, is someone sitting in that chair right there?
No,
I don't think so.
I didn't know.
Okay, Mark is there. Colored pencils and pastel is there. Okay. Okay. So there are always these details that one doesn't think of until one has to think
logistics.
Of them. Logistics, yeah. So basically, as we do this meditation, when people come back, it's going to be a free-for-all. Anyone can get any colors they want from anywhere. I tried to kind of station them around. That sounds okay? Yeah. Okay. So what we're going to do is just do a little dipping a little toe into a little practice, just a little bit, to see what happens. And my hope is that what happens is that people will bring a little nugget back of that core image. And I should say that very often and very much it's like a treasure hunt or scavenger hunt through inner worlds, moments of serendipity, moments that stand out, and kind of a connect the dots. We're going to maybe connect a few dots. So what I would invite everybody to do with your magazine or no magazine is just kind of get yourself comfy in your chairs again. And we're going to do another close our eyes, brief meditation. Yes.
You could speak a little louder during meditation.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, okay, thank you. So I shall. So we're going to do another little meditation. And so if everyone will just close their eyes and kind of settle into the chair very comfortably, and then again begin to breathe very deeply, yet at a comfortable pace. Again, feeling the breath as it goes in through the nostrils and dissolves in the throat, and as it rises in the stomach and pushes itself up through the lungs and throat and out. And in doing that, imagine again that you are breathing in light, and the light will dissolve in your lungs, and as with the swelling of your stomach, you will be breathing out colors. So see the breath as it comes out as ribbons of colors. So in your mind's eye, with the intake of breath, you're breathing in light. And with the outflow of breath, you are breathing ribbons of color. And notice again the colors that you are breathing out and the shapes of those colors. Are they greens or purples, yellows? Are they oranges or blues, turquoise, combinations? So noticing the shapes and the colors that you breathe out. And with each rise of your belly and with each exhale, send the ribbons of colors further and further out until you find them traveling out the door and into the starry night in downtown Sebastopol. So you will just continuing to breathe deeply and in a relaxed way. With each exhale, send the ribbon of color of your breath out further and further into the starry night. And following that ribbon of breath out into the night, allow it to take you to some place in nature that is important to you. And let yourself travel with your ribbon of breath through the night until that place finds you. And so right now, just allowing yourself to follow your ribbon of breath out through the night to that place. And as you find that place, look around and take note of everything that is there. notice whether there is water or trees, flowers, animals, noticing everything that is in a place that is called you. Notice the smells, the feel of the air on your skin. Notice what is behind you. Notice what is behind you. And notice what is just not quite seen. An animal in the bushes, the gophers underground. What's there but not quite seen that you have to feel and sense? And as you look around, notice one thing there that calls out to you the most. It may call out with its beauty or its mystery. It may call out with its beauty or mystery. It may call out by not being quite seen. It may call out by being at the edges of what's possible to see. But notice that one thing that calls out to you. And hold that one thing now in your mind's eye and your heart, and follow the rhythm of your breath back to this room. And as you are ready, please open your eyes and create on that paper the image of the thing that you brought, or the feeling, the image of the thing that you brought, or the feeling of the thing that you brought. It doesn't have to be a direct image. It can be a feeling. It can be a color. So everyone is invited to just move around as you feel, to take whatever image you need.
Can we
pass? Oh, that would be a great idea.
Everybody doesn't have to get up.
That would be a great idea. I'm up for that.
Just
pass the basket.
Yeah, you can do that.
And there's colored pencils and pastels back there.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
There's pencils?
They're not pencils. Okay, the colored pencils are right. Well, they're not right time now. They're on their way.
They will be.
They're on their way, yeah.
That's fine.
So we're going to finish up in a couple of minutes. We still got a couple of minutes, but we want to just have a chance to talk a little bit at the end. So if people could be in a place of perhaps not being finished, but being finished enough so that we can talk for a minute, and holding what isn't there in your memory until perhaps you get home, or perhaps while we're packing up. I'd like to thank people for the sharing of colors. I wasn't quite sure how to just decide the space. And I'd like to kind of just share with you all some things that you can do with those drawings. The first thing you can do with them is, oh, thank you, Alexandra. The first thing you can do with the first thing you can do with them, yeah.
You need a mic.
I do. Oh, was this my mic? Oh no.
No, it stays right there.
Yeah. Oh,
whoops. Thank you. Okay. All right. So the first thing you can do with them is you can put them in a place where you can look at them in the next days and weeks frequently, especially if you feel like there was something important that touched you that is in there, and you may want to try to journal about what is in there. You may also want to try to have a little dialogue with the drawing, okay? And you might want to ask it, what is important about this? What's inside that? What's behind that? What's off past the edges of the newspaper, of the paper? And in a week or so, you might say, I'm going to draw that same place again and notice how it's changed and go, what changed in it? And all of these things are kind of a very small part of soul image tracking, because firstly, the natural world is going to reflect to us what we need to see because we're part of nature. And because we're connected with it, it is going to show us things about our inner image and inner world. And it's really good to do that actually in nature. Here we're in a very beautiful spot, but not nature. And our own inner imagery worlds will show us things. So here we have just a convergence of inner imagery worlds and nature. And so working with it can give you more clues as to soul image. It can help you with that lifelong understanding and conversation with world image. What's happening right now in this moment in my life with my soul image and my soul purpose? So those are things that you can do with it. And if we had a little more time or a lot more time, it would be great to have people kind of talk about their experience and their image. And that's things I do in workshops or mentoring. I'm wondering if there may be some people who are very passionately inspired with what came to them who might just share a couple of sentences or more about how that felt, what worked for them, what was important in their image, or anything people want to share.
Yay. Can you see it? It's not very detailed. This is Armstrong Woods. Mm-hmm. So people know Armstrong Woods. Mm-hmm. See, so the brown is the redwood trees, and the green is the needles. And there's a kind of orchid which grows at the bottom of the redwood sometimes a year. You know, like, so that's how I express that, because Armstrong Woods is my favorite spot on Earth. So that was.
Okay. So a question. You don't have to kind of answer it because it might be a complicated question, or you might know the answer to it. Is there a part of that place and redwoods that you feel or know to be something that your soul is connected with?
Yeah, there's a bridge over a creek. It's not Armstrong Creek. It's dry for a lot of the year, but there's a bridge, or a wooden bridge over the creek. And in the spring, when the creek is running, it's like listening to music. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite spot in Armstrong Woods.
And if we had more time, I'd ask you about that, but I'm not going to do that. I might do that after the program.
All right. Okay. Thank you. That was really lovely.
Yeah. Does anyone else want to share some? Oh, yeah.
I'd be happy to. Mine started out with the identification with redwoods, but it's kind of like the feeling of that was very very special. When I was 11 years old, I was in 1946, and I thought of this as I began to identify with the redwoods, which is just, it's a breathtaking thing. I almost can't speak about it. Because when I'm around one of the trees, it's kind of like I'm going through all these centuries. It's an amazing thing, and I just feel like you're connected with everything. However, when I was 11, I was in the right-hand side of the 46 Chevy, and on the right hill was one of the really big, giant redwoods. And as I turned over, my mother was in front of me. We watched that giant redwood of thousands of years come to the end of its thing, and it fell, and it was going to fall right on our car. She yelled at my dad, and he stepped on the gas. It just missed us and closed the road for many hours before cars could get by. But the thing I felt as a kid is how old these were, but I got to witness one of them at the end of like thousands of years, and it's like you were talking about threads. It feels like it's a thread of thousands of years. What are the chances that you're going to look at a big, giant redwood tree that literally took days for them to clear the highway? It was so big. So just the feeling of that, I had the feeling of mystery, but also the feeling of witnessing something. So something's happening, even if it's a redwood tree, it's happening.
And may I just add, firstly, thank you for sharing that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And that in the idea of soul tracking, when something unusual like that happens, there is some way that is connected in the depth of you and I would say most likely the other people in that car. So when people are close to an event that doesn't happen every day, that I can see that that touched you and shaped you, but it has something to do with, you know, the depth of you and what you bring to this world. So thank you.
Amen.
And so I'm doing a little time check, and it's just about 8:30. Is there anyone else who just wants to share very quickly? Yeah.
Can I take a couple of seconds?
Please take a couple of seconds.
Okay. More than that. I have not finished my picture, but...
Okay.
So, this isn't a place that I have met yet in the real world, but it's a place I keep seeing in my dreams, and it's someplace near the ocean, and there's this underground cave, and I keep seeing it in my dreams. I keep going into this underground cave, and there are hot springs under the ground in this cave, and it's just, it's so comforting and mystical and magical, and I didn't have all the colors I wanted to use, but it's a place that resides inside of me, and I keep looking for it out in the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, big thank you. And I just want to offer back, dreams are an important way of tracking soul, so that being something you see in a dream is important. And some of those elements are also important. You know, dreams are very individual. It's not like, oh, a cave means this or a tree means that. Right. But those elements are something that's important in terms of yourself and what you're bringing and giving to the world in that dream.
Well,
it's a place I keep visiting
in the dream world.
Beautiful.
I hope you find it.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's like a soft portrait to me. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
You look at the colors of your clothes.
Oh, look at that.
Anyway, just beautiful.
Sorry.
Just gorgeous.
So I'm just going to offer a few things by way of closing. One thing is, so these are some practicalities here. I would really like to get my sign in the back. So as you leave, as you leave, if you are not already on my mailing list and you so desire to be, please put yourself down. You will only get occasional emails about what I do, because I don't do a newsletter. I figure we all get way too much email. You're only going to hear from me when I'm actually doing something.
That's great.
And I have a little box here if you want to check it. If you want to do a complimentary phone mentoring session, that's just something that I'm offering. In addition to that, I have these little cards. I have these little mentoring flyers. But I would welcome hearing from any of you if you want to share about your image, your experience. You know, you could check this little box and I'll email you to set up a time, or you could just email me and say, I really wanted to share this or that. I'd be delighted to hear about it. And especially if things come up with drawings when you're working with them, you know, looking at them, talking to them, asking what's inside and around the edges. I'd just like us to do one small thing, and then I'm going to hand it back over to you, just as a way of closing. I would just like each of us to just taking a deep breath and releasing it, and just taking a minute to just look around and see all of the beautiful faces of the people who came here today, and to feel that each of us and everyone else has something very special to bring to these times in which we live and our planet Earth. And it's very beautiful to see everyone here. And then, handing it back to you. Okay.